Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you guys are having a nice little Tuesday. It's your sports bros, Rop and Sook. I'm Asachi. Big Sook's right over there.
Right here.
Look at him. And we're in football mode now.
Yeah. Asided.
I mean, it's just like, it's here.
Yeah.
And the NFL starts this week, and so it's go time until December.
Yeah, what, two more sleeps, and then we got football.
For this show.
Well, we got the NFL football.
The NFL football.
The NFL football. And football is football, you know.
And you got to do football.
You do. You do.
The best part of football is football. And so you got to do football.
Hey, Chip did football this weekend.
Football's football, and the only way to get better at it is to play football.
Yeah. How'd they look? I didn't see their game.
Ohio State was fine.
They rolled.
Saw the score, but
a little clunky early, and then Howard settled in. They had a freshman receiver shocker at Ohio State that looks like he's going to be the next great one there.
Hey, I got some info on you, for you.
On me? What'd I do now?
On the Vancouver,
Main Street, whatever.
Main Street Promise. That they've been trying to get done since 1993.
It's just ridiculous.
They're
in middle school, for God's sakes.
There are some renderings of what they want to do. And then there's a, it looks nice. Guy says, it's an area where folks can obviously walk. It's an area where we'll have furnishings. We'll have opportunities for businesses to offer outdoor seating. We'll have additional places where people can secure their bikes, where people can sit and congregate. We'll have art. And we've got art all along the corridor. We will want to double and triple the art. Under the surface, there will be new water and sewer lines. At street level, there will be improved intersections, making it safer for pedestrians and drivers. Nose-in parking will be no more, giving away to all parallel parking. Another key feature, no curbs, like what was done along Esther Street, where Vancouver's farmers market is set up.
Okay.
It allows for a more open feel and pedestrian-only possibility. So for the foreseeable future, the design may allow for temporary vehicle closures for community gatherings on Main Street there.
I saw some like renderings and, they said like the animations. I guess.
I mean, it looks nice. Some trees and
Like I said, it looks like
nice
they're
umbrellas.
They're just kind of putting some lipstick on it, right? You know, redoing redoing some sidewalks and
they want you to hang out down there. Right now you go down there, it's like, it's just a downtown street.
Yes.
They want it to be more inviting.
It's not particularly nice. So, but yeah, the Esther Shore area down there at the park, they have like outdoor concerts there now and they've kind of got rid of the homeless for the most part. And yeah, there's a big farmer's market. So, all right. Well, you know what? Go downtown Couve.
So coming up here this hour, we'll finish off our college football week one onesie. I don't even know if we'll get to it all. We're going to check in on Florida State fans.
Someone does point out, team suing the ACC 0-3. Bah.
They are.
Jackasses.
And that's shocking because it's only week one.
I know.
And there's only two of them. They're 0-3.
I just love the all this. We got to get out of this crappy conference. Try winning a game first.
Coming up tonight in the club, we have a new Wheel of Fortune host. And I want to talk about Did you know who's hosting Wheel of Fortune now? Did you know who they chose?
No, I remember.
They chose a permanent host.
I remember Pat saying goodbye.
Yeah.
Van is still around, right?
Yeah, she's still there. Yeah. She looks good. I saw an interview with her.
Okay.
Tell you what, she takes that job very seriously.
I know, it's fascinating. You take it seriously, too, if you got paid like $50 million a year to turn some letters.
Would I, or would I just be baked the whole time?
It's a valid
flipping
point.
Flipping letters.
Well, I think when you have a gig that cushy...
With a big fat wallet.
You better take it seriously. Otherwise, you know, someone comes along and gives you the heave-ho, and you're going to be like, how the hell did I screw that up?
Well, we will talk about who the new host is. It may be a name you know. And there's an 8-foot dude on the volleyball team in the Paralympics, and I want to talk about that.
He's 8 feet tall?
Correct.
Hmm. By the way, I learned something about the Paralympics the other day, getting my beard trimmed. Mm-hmm. I was completely misinformed about the Paralympics.
Okay.
I can't
wait to hear this.
Okay, well, you want to do it?
Is this going
to
be insensitive?
No. I just assumed.
We'll get to it at the club.
Okay. Well, I said no. I didn't know.
I think I know what you mean.
Did you know?
Yeah.
You knew.
I do. And I'll tell you. Well, I'll tell you why.
All right. I felt like a bit of a rube.
Well, you are a rube, but that's okay.
And I think someone at the Paralympics has one of the hardest jobs in sports.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Suddenly, we
got a hot take. Yeah, the Paralympics talk is going to be heat.
We're going to take off at 6.
Damn. Right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com.
Number 5.
Can the Mariners make up 6 games in the final 24?
No.
It's not looking good.
No, they can't. They're 6-back. I mean,
they've lost 3 straight to the lowly Angels and A's.
I think they're 2-8 against the freaking Angels this year.
Tonight it's Luis Castillo in Oakland. Seattle 6-back of the Strohs in the West, 5.5-back of my Royals for the 3rd and final AL wild card.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Royals are in a freaking free fall too.
I know.
We were trying to help you out, you Mariner people, by going into Houston. We lost all 4 damn games.
At one point, Kansas City was tied for the lead in that division. I think they're, 4.5-5 back now?
Yeah, they've lost 6 in a row.
What the hell, man?
Those little bitches.
Hey, better than the Mariners. The Mariners, if you want a bright side, 69-69 this year. That's the only thing you can smile about for the Mariners all year.
Yeah, but it's not 54%.
It is not. It is not 54%.
It's only 50%. Yeah.
And have you seen, like, by the way, their pitching stats, their starting pitching stats? It's depressing. They're one or two in basically every meaningful category, and they're 69-69.
The Pac-2 and the Mountain West did not come to a scheduling agreement for the 2025 season before last night's deadline. This means that Oregon State and Washington State will likely piece together fully independent schedules for next football season.
And it sounds like they weren't close. The Mountain West didn't want to be used as a stalking horse. That's essentially what the Pac-2 are going to try to do here. They're waiting. They're waiting for the Big 12 and the ACC. They know the Mountain West thing. Whether it's joining the Mountain West or a combination is a death sentence to them. And by the way, I think they already have 6 or 7 games each, so it's really not piecing together an entire schedule at this point. It's just putting together a handful of games. BYU did it, but it's not that bad. And the schedules already have some quality teams on it, so this is not a big deal.
I actually think that it would be, if I'm a Beaver or a Coug fan, I think an independent schedule would be fun. Way better than the Mountain West schedule.
Yeah, the problem is that when you have an independent schedule, it gets you independent talent, and then you get your ass kicked.
Yeah, well, and you probably play...
Number 3.
I would imagine an independent schedule is a harder schedule.
It is.
Because you just have to take some chances.
And already, like, next year, they already have Cal, Fresno, Texas Tech, Oregon, Houston, Portland State. So
Cal, Fresno, Texas Tech. Who else?
Oregon, Houston, and then Portland State. So
okay.
Let's
mix in a Purdue.
You're not having to put together an entire schedule.
Sean Hyken reporting that Portland will land a WNBA franchise. The official announcement is set for September 10th, which is a week from today. The owners will be the same family that owns the Portland Thorns and has a stake in the Sacramento Kings. They would begin play in 2026, and we do not know what they would be called.
Well, obviously we have to name them.
Well, I think they...
Our show has to.
Oh, our show.
Yeah.
So are they going to use the fire? The old fire name?
I hope not. I hope they come up with something unique and individual.
Okay. Will it have any connection to the NBA franchise? Will it be something related to Blazing Trail?
They do that a lot. Even though this one won't have any connection to the Blazers, two independent groups, but hopefully they'll play in the same building and there'll be a cooperative thing there and maybe some colors will be similar. I mean, most of the WNBA teams do that. And no offense to the other guy, the Zoom Info guy, but this is deeper pockets. You don't have to worry about it. This is a good thing. And I think we've shown we will support things here in Portland. This will be a good move.
Oregon is down three spots to sixth in the coaches poll this week. They are seventh in the AP. Texas is the new number three in both polls behind Georgia and Ohio State. USC, the biggest riser in the coaches poll. They are up nine spots to number 14. Washington jumps in at number 25 following losses by Florida State and Texas A&M. Ducks' opponent this week is Boise State. The Broncos are 1-0, and they did receive votes for the top 25 after a 56-45 win over Georgia Southern.
I know a lot of people are like, oh, Boise State. And while they did score a lot of points, they gave up 45 to Georgia Southern. So we should probably stop with the idea that Boise State is some sort of juggernaut. So hopefully Oregon can clean some things up. Stop
now. Well, that was after watching the Idaho game.
It was the least impressive win.
They don't need to be a juggernaut.
No.
Number one.
Freaking Idaho's a juggernaut. How about that team?
Number one.
I love... Hey, I'm a Vandals fan now.
Go Vandals?
I thought they were... I like that quarterback. I like that coach.
They were spunky.
Yeah, they were spunky.
They got dominated, but not on the scoreboard.
Their D-line was good.
The Niners get left tackle Trent Williams back today. He has finalized an extension. Ends his holdout just in time for week one. Now, he is 36 years old. They're saying he's going to get about $48 million in new guaranteed money.
Yeah. So this will be his last deal, and this is why he was holding out. He was well compensated, but he's got one more chance to cash in. 36 years old, still playing at a very high level, arguably the best tackle in the game, but get us some guarantees in there. You can't go into this last year, have an injury, and then at 36 basically be done. So it's going to cost him some money in fines, but he more than made up for it with $48 million in new guaranteed money.
Now, the other bit of Niners news, if you didn't see it over the weekend, rookie receiver Ricky Pearsall, he got shot in the chest.
Yeah. Originally, it was reported that he got shot twice, but I think he just got shot in the chest and it went out his back, his mom said.
That's right. In and out.
Missed all vital organs. He is actually already out of the hospital. He will miss the first four games, but John Lynch saying that he does expect him to be able to return. He got very lucky. He was walking alone in downtown San Francisco. He was trying to buy some luggage. It was like right in the middle of the afternoon.
Well, yeah, he was leaving an autograph signing.
Yeah, and he went to go buy some luggage, they said. And so some guy tried to rob him. 17-year-old kid tried to rob him and shot him in the chest.
Well, and Pearsall, I guess, shot him too.
He wrestled the gun away and shot him back.
They both got shot. When the police showed up, both had been shot and injured. And here's the thing. Dude, Pearsall is such a badass. The dude walked to his own ambulance.
Yeah.
And then like a day later, just left the hospital. He's like, I'm cool.
According to their radio color analyst, he's walking around the weight room at the Niners facility today.
Is this your new hot favorite Niner?
I mean, let's see what he does.
Want to get in his pants?
For the moment. My first ever job out of college was at the intersection where he got shot. Geary and Grant off Union
Square. It's a nice area.
It's the place in San Francisco where they put up the giant Christmas tree and the big Macy's is. It's like, it's the tourist shopping center of the area.
If you were not going to get shot someplace in San Francisco, that's where you would not get shot.
Well, it's very close to the Tenderloin. It's Union Square.
Yeah, the Tenderloin is just a...
Like the Fairmont's right there.
Yeah, it's a few blocks down. But like that right there is like the nicest, like everything from like Louis Vuitton
There's
to
a
Gucci.
Nike town there.
Yeah, it's like the nicest area of San Francisco.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think he was at Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
He was trying to get some luggage.
It's a very, very fancy part of town, but
the kid saw that and he was like, I'll be taking that.
Yeah.
No, you won't.
I mean, is it? I mean, I guess it's great that he stopped the robbery, but at the same time, it's not good that you got shot.
He got very, very lucky.
Over his watch. The dude wanted his Rolex.
Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victorricos.com. Let's get back to our college football week one onesie coming up next on The Fan. Well, college football was pretty fun this weekend. We have already discussed Oregon struggling against Idaho. We have already discussed USC knocking off LSU. Florida State stealing some headlines with another loss.
Well, and it's not just that they've lost two games. They're just not very good. I mean, at this point, like with the Oregon one, right? Like Oregon had a close game, didn't look very good against Idaho in situational football, but dominated that game in every other way. Defense looked dominant, and just kind of self-inflicted things ended up being a very close game at the end, right? Florida State has now lost two games, and those aren't like flukes. The offense looks dreadful. They can't run the ball. The defense is an absolute sieve. I mean, Boston, both teams, by the way, just ran all over them. I mean, this looks nothing, and I mean nothing, like a team that went undefeated last year and probably should have been in the College Football Playoff minus the quarterback injury. I mean, it's alarming how bad Florida State is getting pushed around by not elite teams. I mean,
well, they have as many touchdowns as losses.
Yeah.
If that tells you anything.
That's not good. And no offense to Georgia Tech and Boston College, who, you know, Georgia Tech, you know, supposedly a program on the rise, you know, had a decent season last year in Boston College with Bill O'Brien. But I mean, to just get manhandled up front on both sides of the ball, I'm shocked.
Pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's just the third team since 1989 to go from preseason top 10 to out of the rankings after week one. The other two are Michigan in 2007. That was the team that Oregon beat, lost to App State the week before. And then number eight, Michigan was ranked fifth, by the way.
Yeah.
And then Clemson in the very next year, 2008, they were ranked eighth and dropped out. Florida State is also just the second team ever to go undefeated and follow it up by starting 0-2 the next season.
Yeah.
And they are the first team in 45 years to lose their first two games as double-digit favorites in both.
I mean, and this just doesn't, like you said, it just doesn't happen. And I know the ACC is soft right now, but I mean, because when you lose the first game, you know, you tell yourself, hey, it's one loss and everything we want is right in front of us. You know, you win the conference, you still get an automatic bid, but not only have you lost two games in a row, but you've lost two conference games. I mean, you're behind the eight ball here. And so essentially, I'm not going to say your season's over, but it's kind of over. At least what your expectations were.
They have to win the ACC.
Yes.
I mean, that's going to have to be their path because, yeah. I mean, there's already a narrative out there. And sometimes, you know, it's hard for me sometimes after week one to listen to a lot of the... People go a little overboard.
Sure.
Just slow down. But in Florida State's case, it's two games. But there's already this narrative that the ACC with Clemson losing, Florida State losing twice, and then Virginia Tech also losing, they're all over so far, that the ACC will not be getting an at-large bid.
Doesn't feel that way.
I mean, it's whoever wins that league will get an automatic bid into the tournament, but the rest of the teams are going to be from the deep Big Ten and the SEC and the Big 12.
Yeah.
So Florida State probably, I mean, they haven't lost. Well, actually, they have lost a conference game. They're
2.
Oh, yeah, they're 0-2
in the league.
So they're gonna have to come back and win that league because I just don't. How on earth does Florida State get an at large?
They don't.
And after losing the first two games,
the two unranked teams, and again, it's the way you lose. And this is the thing. Yeah, you may change things around and you may get hot, but again, watching those two Florida State teams or those two games, that's not a team that's close. That's not a team that just, hey, we clean up something here, we make an adjustment here. Even Clemson, right? And that, did you watch any of the Clemson Georgia game?
Oh yeah. Well, so, I turned it off after it got to be.
Yeah.
Because the second half, it still had some intrigue, even though Clemson couldn't do anything offensively.
Yeah.
But then Georgia just came out and punished him.
And this is my point I'll make with Clemson. We know that they're light years behind Georgia, but I mean, that game was 6-0 in the first half. Like, if you're Clemson, you're trying to take out of that is, hey, our defense is really good. We still have a buttload of talent here. We just have to figure out how to play any sort of offense. And it's almost like the USC thing last year. If you just give us a decent defense, you score 20 points, and we're going to win a lot of games. Because we gave up 6 to Georgia, and our defense just got hung out to dry. And eventually we got gassed, and then the dam broke. But with Florida State, what do you point to? There is not a single thing you can point to at Florida State right now in two games and say, hey, this is what we do well. You got a quarterback who, unfortunately, look, he shouldn't be the starter at this point. You punt on him. It's not working.
He's just not that good.
He's just not that good, and he's not winning you games, and he's a senior. Get rid of him. Go to a youth movement, even if it loses you games. Prepare for next year. And up front, you are bad. You are a bad offensive line, and you are a bad defensive line, and that does not win you games. So Florida State, I hate writing off teams. I don't do it after 1 week. It's even hard to do it after two. Put a big old ass fork in them. Florida State is done.
Well, a couple of other things. I actually think it's great that Florida State is losing because if you asked me, and this is an impossible question to answer with facts, it's just someone's opinion based on their experience. If you ask me which college football fan base is the most obnoxious, I might give you Florida State. And the only thing I'm basing that on is, well, one, there are a bunch of rubes down there. Yeah. The whole Tallahassee, Jameis Winston thing.
Sure.
But two, when we were at the Rose Bowl, we went to a lot of those those big Duck games back in the day. And, you know, we saw Wisconsin fans, Ohio State fans, Kansas State fans.
Auburn.
Florida State fans, Auburn fans. Florida State was just another level of obnoxious.
Yes.
And they were awful.
Yep.
And that's the only thing I'm basing that on. I don't know if they're any worse than any other fan base, but it sure, in my dealings with them, they are. And they're an extra level of dumb, too. And so I think it's great that they're losing. And I saw there's a couple of things out there about their fans. One is on the message boards, there's already something circulating that they want to sue the players to get their NIL money back.
Yes.
And the other is that guy who said he would eat dog poop out of a red Solo cup with a spoon.
He's deleted everything.
So this guy's name, well, actually, I don't know his name. His handle was @321Noel. Mm-hmm. And he said last week, he said, if FSU loses to BC, I will eat dog blank out of a red Solo cup with a spoon and post a video of me doing it. Yeah. Book it.
Yeah.
Book it.
And here's the thing.
He volunteered.
That was last Tuesday.
Wasn't even losing a bet. He volunteered.
They lost, and today his account has been deleted.
And he's been called out by Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter and all over the place.
Here's the thing. You say that you're going to eat dog poo, you got to eat dog poo. You got to. You gotta melt some Tootsie Pops or something, sprinkles. Hey,
you come following up through with that? You say you make that proclamation.
Credit
you're telling me
due.
You're following.
A Cleveland radio host, sports radio host, did this. He said if the Browns drafted Baker Mayfield, that he would eat horse bleep.
Oh,
and then they did, and he did on air. You can look it up.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't. I would
never say it.
First of all, you and I are smart enough after years of dignity bets to know not to make proclamations that have no upside.
No.
But, I mean, like, seriously, that has the upside of, like, a maintenance test flight. Yeah, like, what are you doing?
And not even being the pilot, just being the passenger on said maintenance
flight. There's nothing but downside for you.
No,
so why are you even saying this?
Yeah, don't. You can't
stupid
do
stupid idiot fan.
But don't think that you can just vanish.
Well, he did just vanish.
Someone will know who you are. That's pathetic.
You didn't cuss, did you?
No.
No.
No. That's like Dusty welching on a bet to get tased. Oh, wait.
Yeah, he still hasn't been tased.
It's been like a decade, and he's still dodging that thing.
So, Florida State can suck it. Although, I do think that Mike Norvell, I don't know, I think he's probably a pretty good coach. I don't know what's going on with him, but he had a hell of a year last year. I kind of felt slightly bad for him last year, but not for their stupid fans.
Well,
I can't stand that.
It's coming back to roost for all that bitching. For all that bitching and moaning last year, and then you get blown out in the bowl game. You're like, well, none of our players showed up. Well, none of your players showed up at the start of this season too, because you've been blasted now twice. It's by far the most disappointing team in the country. And then I find it hilarious because the second most disappointing team in the country is Clemson, and I really dislike Dabo, so I find that hilarious. But Clemson, I'm not willing to write off because the ACC is pretty soft, and their defense is good, and there's talent. They just can't play offense. And since has there ever been a bigger downgrade than going from Trevor Lawrence to DJ to Klubnik? And that's not good.
Offense sucks.
That's all kinds of bad.
All right, we've got one more ACC team to talk about, and that is our Miami Hurricanes.
Who some people
and Mario Cristobal
are just Greg McElroy. Today I was listening to his podcast, and he was all doing the, hey, I'm not trying to overreact, but I think Miami can win the whole thing. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Here's a Buckle Sports.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, Mario Cristobal had a good weekend.
By the way, I got a text from the great Dave Bartu.
And
you know Dave.
Big Dave.
Yeah, Dave's pretty soft on the transfer portal. He thinks that the transfer portal is sometimes a bit of a fool's gold.
Oh,
and he did bring up an interesting point about last year, too. He said FSU last year was definitely a portal program. He said Michigan State 1 year with Mel Tucker, same thing. The Kenneth Walker, they brought in all those portal kids. He said, beware the portal dependence. And yes, the portal is something that, you know, every team is using to fill gaps with the exception of Clemson. And they're getting buried for that. But yeah, it is something to keep an eye on, that be wary of teams that go so hard and get, you know, 8 new starters every year in the portal. That can come back to bite you, because, you know, look at Michigan State, and he brought up Florida State, because right now Florida State does not look like a really talented team.
Now how smart does Dabo look?
Yeah, you might want to find one a la a quarterback.
Is Oregon portal dependent? I mean, not to start a whole thing here, but
no, they're not portal dependent, because when you look at the way they're recruiting, you know,
they're doing it in high school, too.
That's the thing. And Dave's whole point is that if you're going to be good in college, you have to recruit. The Deion Sanders thing doesn't work. It's not going to work. You cannot rely on the portal year in and year out. I think what almost every team, with the exception of Dabo, is doing, that's an elite team, you still have to be an elite recruiter. You still got to be a top 10, top 15 recruiter. And then you use the portal to fill in spots, mainly quarterback. And I think that's when you look at what Oregon did. And then I think with Lanning, the last couple of years, I think you saw the portal, because when he got here, the talent wasn't where he wanted it. But I think as you see this program go ahead, what they're doing in the high school recruiting, that's what's going to build the depth of your team. And then you use the recruiting rankings to fill in. But like, if you're relying on the portal like this year to bring in an entirely new secondary year in and year out, or an entirely new defensive line, that's, I think, what Dave is saying, is be very, very wary of that.
So Miami took care of Florida. In the swamp.
Easy. 92,000 people were shut up real, real fast.
Did you see what Cam Ward said about the fans?
Yeah, that it wasn't that loud.
Yeah, he said, advice to the fans, if you're going to be loud, you have to be loud when we're huddling.
Yeah.
You can't just be loud once we break the huddle. By that time, it's no point. We hear the play and we've communicated already. I played at USC. USC wasn't packed, but it was louder than this. I played at Oregon and it was louder than this. Washington was one of the loudest environments I've ever played in.
See, this is where, look, Cam, I get it, man. You're flexing and all that. The swamp has traditionally been one of the tougher places to play. I'm sorry, USC was not louder than Florida. Stop it. Like,
that's what he said. He's played in both.
No,
what, you think he's a liar? Are you calling him a liar?
Yes, I think he's.
I think he's just making it up.
I think he's just trolling. Cam likes to hear some Cam, and he had a great run here, and he beat up on a Florida team that is not very good, and Billy Napier's ass is as good as gone. He's already attacking fans on social media as well. But can we, it's like saying, like, you go to Tennessee. I heard like Oregon fan do that too. Like when they went and beat Michigan wasn't that loud. Okay. Sure. Like the big house isn't loud.
Well, they bludgeoned them. Of course it was.
Exactly. Like you beat the hell out of Florida, out of Florida in their own building. I'm sure in the second half, it was pretty quiet, but let's not act like the swamp has been a place that people go in. It's like, oh, that's not a hard place to go win. It's easy.
Well,
some of that stuff is just, you know, that's you just bragging, and you beat him down. And when you beat him down, you get to say stuff like that.
Ward is the new Heisman betting favorite.
Yeah.
He's taking over Dylan Gabriel for that. Yeah. Of course, that will change week to week. But
it's funny. Dylan Gabriel, you know, throws for almost 400 yards, a couple tutties, and 83%. And people are like,
good time to bet him.
Well, I mean, you know how the narrative is. It's like check down Sandy, right? It's the same thing that hit Bo Nix.
It certainly was check down Sandy against
and
Idaho.
It was against it Idaho. Was. Like that, they have a point for that one.
That
but,
one, yes.
But if that keeps going, I can't imagine that will keep going
yeah.
that way. But yeah, so Cam Ward, you know, it's kind of cool to watch. I hate to say this. I'm not a huge fan of Mario Cristobal at all, but I kind of like the U. And I really like Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. I think he is, I don't know, he doesn't get talked about as much as some of the bigger, you know, the Quinn Ewers and the Jalen Milroe's and the Carson Beck's and Dylan Gabriel's. But, dude, he's just as good as any of them.
Well, and he's got
and they have Damian Martinez at running back.
Yep.
Which I think is pretty, like, find me a better quarterback running back duo. Maybe I've got my Pac-12.
It's the Pac-12.
I'm sorry, that would be a Pac-2. Yeah. Duo, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Maybe I've just got my Pac-2 glasses on, but that is as good as it gets with those two guys.
Yeah, Cam, to me, has to prove that he can do it consistently. I think Cam has certainly had moments where he looks like a world beater, and then other times I think he's had games where inexcusable mistakes. But also, you know, he's doing it at Washington State, where the talent around him is nowhere near the talent around him at Miami. I mean, when you look at Miami, and Miami certainly has a talented team. You can say one thing about Mario Cristobal, the guy can recruit. And you look at the rest of their schedule, from a talent standpoint, they're going to overwhelm a lot of people. I mean, if you look at Miami, they got Florida A&M, Ball State, South Florida, Virginia Tech, who just lost to Vandy, Cal, Louisville, Florida State, Duke, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, Syracuse. Dude, there is not a more favorite. I'll tell you right now.
They're going to be up there.
They will be in the college football playoff. Yeah. Just put them in right now. There is.
Of course, he'll have to learn how to kneel on the ball.
Yes.
When winning a game.
With as talented as Miami is, and the swagger being back, and they got depth. They've done a nice job of recruiting there and supplementing with the portal. There isn't a better path right now to the college football playoff than what Miami has.
So there's your ACC champion.
Probably.
Most likely.
And I mean, Clemson could still be there, but man, they don't play, so they would play in the ACC title game. But here's the funky thing. If Miami goes undefeated and still gets clipped by Clemson in the ACC title game, they're still in. They would be 12-1. They're in. So I just think...
There is a chance that... Because we were just talking about this, that the ACC... There's already this narrative that the ACC will now know... They will not have an at-large team.
Yeah.
Miami might be their only hope for an at-large team.
Yes.
All right?
At least
if they don't win the league, but still have a great year.
It's just such... Notre Dame has a really good path laid ahead of them. Miami has a really good path laid ahead of them. And
are we considering Notre Dame ACC?
No.
Yeah.
No, they're independent.
They're on their own.
They're on their own.
But, I mean, they do play an ACC...
They play an ACC light schedule.
Have you seen, dude? They only play three true road games. Did you see that?
Yes.
On that Texas A&M game, they were showing Notre Dame's schedule. Mm-hmm. They play three road games all year.
They just
won at Texas A&M. They only have two more true road games left.
This is where I said week one reactions. I don't overreact, but I think you can look ahead and you know you start looking at pass and Notre Dame. So they just beat A&M. Looked very physical doing it. They got Northern Illinois. At Purdue, Miami, Ohio, Louisville, Stanford, Georgia Tech, Navy, Florida State, Virginia, Army, SC.
What are their true road games? They got
at Purdue.
A&M, Purdue, and then there's one other one.
USC.
Yeah, that's the only other one.
Yep.
Everything else, I mean, that's unbelievable.
So again, they are going to be significant favors over everyone until maybe they get to SC, and who knows what SC is by the end of the year. But Notre Dame and Miami have a rose-covered path to the college football playoff at this point.
Marcus Freeman, I hate to say it, but I think he went up a size in that coaching gear. The offseason wasn't that kind to Marcus Freeman. But they looked pretty good.
A little portly.
Did you see Connor Wegman?
He looked terrible.
Did you see him throw up? Did you see that close-up?
No, I didn't see the close-up. I saw that he threw up, but I did not see the close-up.
Dude, it was weird. I don't know why they put this on there, but I mean, I guess I do know why, but you would think maybe they wouldn't show it. It would just be something that circulates on social media. But right on the broadcast, they did a close-up of him walking to the sideline, just barfing all over his face mask.
Well, you know, he kind of barfed on the field because he went 12 of 30 for 100 yards and two picks.
Yeah, he's not any good, is he?
Well, he was a five-star kid.
I know, but he hasn't done anything.
No, it's not pretty. It's not
and
pretty.
And Notre Dame was supposed to have a terrible offensive line. They looked pretty good.
Yeah, and Riley Leonard, although, dude, they got to change the way that cat plays because he's just running around like you can't keep getting hit like that. I mean, he was better with his legs than he was with his arm, and he was only 18 to 30 for $158. But, again, the schedule lines up so well for Notre Dame, and I don't know, give Notre Dame credit. That was a physical football team, a true test on the road against a talented team in A&M, and Notre Dame was clearly the better team. So I give them credit. It's better than teams that, no offense to anyone that played Idaho and Idaho State and, you know, the Sister Mary of the Poor in week one. I think it takes some balls to go on the road and play Texas A&M to start the year.
Texas A&M is now 1-9 when featured on College Game Day.
They should stop being featured on College Game Day.
Not good.
Well, and A&M in general, and I know it's a new, you know, they got Elko now from Duke, who was Riley Leonard's coach.
By the way, he has a great resting bitch face. Like, he was so pissed.
Yeah.
You could just see it on his eyes how mad he was.
What was I going to say about A&M? They are... they're kind of the SEC's version of Arizona State, where
totally.
Everyone keeps saying they should be good and they get credit for being good, but they're never really good. Like, no. They're just not.
Jimbo couldn't even win there.
No. But, you know, they got a coach now that they think pretty highly of. But I'll tell you what, it's harder playing in the SEC, and it's even harder when you start off the year and don't look very good against Notre Dame.
Text on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. VancouverFord.com. Big win for Mario. Can't wait for them to lose to 2-3 Cal. So true.
Something like that will happen.
It's so true.
I'm just kind of amazed that he let Cam Ward throw the ball 35 times. Like,
very un-Mario.
Watching that, normally, just watching his offenses just... I'm like, oh my God.
Well,
first down, predictable throw. And it sounds like he kind of took the...
I think they're saying that much like freaking what's his nuts at USC, Lincoln Riley did with his defense, Cristobal's done the same with his offense.
Good.
And he's kind of parsed that out.
Yeah.
How about him dropping the gator chop across the knee, WWE stuff?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. They have a... and look, they're better for it. When... College football needs villains. Every sport needs villains. And sometimes the villain is fun to root for. You mentioned WWE. Like, sometimes the most popular wrestler is kind of the jackass. And Miami, love them or hate them, they belong being the bully on the block.
They're pretty fun.
It's better when you can either hate watch or hate appreciate Miami. And there was definitely some of that swagger. So for all of Mario's, I'm not the biggest Mario guy, the whole Tuffy Tufferton act, but he certainly brings a swagger to it. And he played on those Miami teams that were that way. And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of excited if Miami's got a little bit of that this year and starts pushing some people.
Well,
around.
With Cam Ward there, they're much more interesting.
Yes.
And yeah, the U's always been kind of interesting, but you're right, that college football is helped by them being good.
Yes.
So they looked good. Let's get next to Georgia. And what was one of the things? Oh, I've got some audio to play for you. See, I watched Game Day, and I was kind of out on Game Day for a while because, well, it's just kind of boring. Like,
sure. I don't watch it nearly as much as I used to.
Desmond doesn't bring anything to the table.
Lee Corso.
Kurt's very buttoned up. Corso used to be the fun part of that show, but now he doesn't even know what day it is. But they've added, they've spiced it up because Pat McAfee, he's bringing some juice to that show.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Nick Saban is excellent on there. He really is. Yeah. He's really good. And he's not afraid to say stuff either. So College Game Day is back for me. And I have some audio from week one College Game Day at Texas A&M. So we'll get to all of that coming up next to wrap up our college football week one onesie on the Fan. Hey, the backup quarterback game is tomorrow. Ain't that a That's how you know NFL is here. Wrapping up college football week one. Yeah, I got a little Pat McAfee audio here. Deal texted, and he said, week one overreaction, game day is back. Give it a few weeks. I don't know, man. I think it's much more watchable. I mean, look, it's still just a pregame show.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it just kind of is what it is. But they do a lot of features and bits and fun. You know, I like fun with my sports.
So, well, you should.
As you know.
It is supposed to be fun.
Right. And it sometimes the boring breakdowns are just, I mean, give me, spice it up a little bit. Lee Corso used to spice that show up. Yeah. Now he's just pathetic.
I'm not the world's biggest Pat McAfee
I'm
fan.
I'm not either, but he brings juice to that show.
Pat McAfee is the best thing they've done for that show in years.
And Saban.
Yes.
So here was a little bit of them on Saturday.
I'm with Boise State, too. You know, Dirk Cutter is one of the offensive coordinators I always tried to hire at Alabama, could never get him. He's at Boise. They'll do a great job.
That's because you were spending all your money on your players, Coach.
We had a low budget.
I love that. Just because you were spending all your money on your players, Coach.
Well, McAfee just, he just brings juice, and he's not afraid to piss people off. He's not afraid to be inappropriate. I mean, for God's sakes, he got drunk and threw up on his show from Ireland, which, you know, some might say borders on inappropriate and unprofessionalism, but, you know, he just brings a youthful edge. And you're right, Saban is really,
Saban's
really good.
Good
on that
See,
show.
See, I've tried to listen to Pat McAfee's show, and I just, it doesn't grab me.
Yeah.
But he does.
You're not a bro.
He does on game day.
To the Will Ortons of the world, he's football Jesus.
What else?
And he's a punter.
Did you see Jay Norvell's next level sign stealing prevention idea? Did you see that?
The phone booth thing one there. By the way, they're down by
38-0, and the guy's following him up and down the sideline.
Can we, Jay, man.
So to explain that, Jay Norvell coaches at Colorado State.
Yes.
And Texas took them behind the woodshed. And Norvell's on the headset, and he's doing the Dan Campbell talk behind the play sheet thing, which a lot of coaches do. Mm. Have you seen the new Dan Campbell ad? Applebee's ad?
No, I have not. Dan Campbell's got an Applebee's ad?
Yeah.
All right.
It's out.
No, I haven't seen that.
You can check that out. He makes the people order behind, like they have to order with the menu
the
covering
menu in
their
front. That makes sense. Yeah, Dan Campbell, that no one's going to read my lips.
Yeah.
But Jay Norvell took it to a new level.
Yeah, he was doing that, and he's covering his lips with his play sheet, but then he also has somebody like running in front of him with a big giant sheet. Yeah,
it's just a big Colorado kind of like flag, and he holds it up, and that way you can't even see him. The Jet Age secrets that Jay Norvell is offering. You're down 38 points.
So
stop it. Somewhere Connor Stallions is in there reading your lips. My God.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Jay Norvell.
This week, we've got Texas, Michigan. That'll be fun.
That'll be big. Because,
and then we have Colorado, Nebraska.
Yeah. And I did you watch any of the Nebraska stuff?
No. I missed them. Who'd they play?
Who'd they play? I'm just Dominic Raiola, who was the. Did they play?
I saw his highlights. I don't remember who they played.
Did they play Nevada, maybe? I'll look at that for you. But dude, for a freshman quarterback, dude, that guy, first off, he wears number 15. They played UTEP. He looks like Patrick Mahomes.
His name's Dylan.
Dylan, what did I say?
Donovan.
Oh, excuse me. Dylan Raiola. He was supposedly the big quarterback that was, his dad was center at Nebraska. So Heritage kid was going to go to Nebraska and then switched and was going to go down to Georgia. And then he went back to Nebraska. Won the job as a true freshman. He looked like he had a little something. I mean, I know it's UTEP, but boy, he plays kind of a Pat Mahomes, Johnny Manziel, run around different arm angles.
Look like Patrick Mahomes?
He does.
He looks exactly like him.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of creepy. And number 15, it looks like he is doing an impersonation of Patrick Mahomes.
Well, just like with Miami, you were saying it's just college football is more fun when they're good.
Yeah.
Nebraska the same, I think.
Well, and last year, Colorado and Nebraska played a good game. And Colorado won because Nebraska had the worst quarterback I've ever seen in my entire life. It was that Sims kid. And, you know, now Deion wins the week one thing and is talking crap and all that you know, hoo-ha, and now you get a real game against Nebraska. I'm excited about that. But the Michigan-Texas one, because Texas rolled. Michigan did not. Michigan did not look very good. They kind of put it away in the second half. But I'm very, very intrigued by what they've got. Because remember, this week, USC has Utah State, and then they're at Michigan. And all of a sudden, USC looked pretty good in week one. So it could be kind of spicy, not only, you know, Texas-Michigan, but a look ahead for USC Michigan in 2 weeks.
It's going to be a fun season, man.
Yes, it is.
Fired up.
Get it, 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 get
And then, of course, Oregon.
Oh, by the way, all the Big Ten teams are undefeated. Is that right? Except for Minnesota lost.
Minnesota. Then they should 17-1. They should have beat North Carolina. And all of a sudden, that Oregon-Boise State game that we were all kind of yawning at, with the way you played against Idaho, all of a sudden that game takes on a little extra meaning.
Night game.
Yeah.
45-24, you heard it here first.
I can see that. I'll say this. As much as Oregon fan is ready to jump off the ledge, I understand why. I just can't go there yet. I just think this team is too talented to have that happen week to week. And it was just one of those games. I've never seen a team dominate a game quite like that against inferior competition and yet still be in a one-score game with 8 minutes left. I just think if you play that game 10 times, I think they blow them out by 49 of those. So the Boise State game will be a much better indicator of what Oregon is bringing to the table. But I went from not being interested in the Boise State game to now kind of got that one circled as one of the games of the week.
A little Paralympics talk and a new host of Wheel of Fortune. Who did they choose? Next in the club on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.